Yeah, they're never losing again. Never. 147-15. That's what the Astros are going to finish this year. You heard it here first. The hottest of hot takes on all things baseball. Mad Radio just brought it to you. Paul Gallant and Seth Payne on a Thursday.
I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but I found myself as we were talking about the Astros yesterday, as we were just gloating and basking in all this awesomeness that we've seen in this Tigers series. It was the Tigers. Like, it was, that's not a good baseball. That was a baseball team that specifically was saying, we're not going to waste our good pitchers on a losing effort. So, like, let's settle a little bit down because we're about to face the Boston Red Sox, which is a whole different scenario. I'm going to savor this series with the Red Sox because it gets back to, oh, okay, this, like, that feeling of nervous tension. Like, you're facing a good team. Let's go out and see exactly what we've got with Corbin Martin, especially in 2 days.
Don't bring me down.
I'm not bringing you down. It's that, look, we've known this. We've seen this before. Regular season success doesn't mean a lot come the playoffs. So right now you're still trying to probe and learn what you have in this team. And there's a whole lot to be excited about. But there was a little too much. I felt like everybody's getting a little too high on the hog after this Detroit series.
Well, what's wrong with feeling like you can just plop it out after a dominating win? Like every single game. Right. You hear that Alex Bregman home run on the call by Todd Callis there. The game was done. I mean, this has just been such a stress-free couple of games for the Astros. I like it. I like sitting back.
Yesterday I tuned in midway through the first, and Correa's up at bat, and you're thinking, oh, okay, well, it was either... And you saw, you knew it was either Bregman or Springer because he had one on base, and that's all the drama there is. That was the drama in that game for me, was that I tuned in late and I didn't know who hit the first home run, and it was Bregman.
That's where we've gotten to with this team. Now, you are right. This is going to be a very tough weekend for them, and it's because Boston finally has figured their lives out. Which is a bit disappointing because I did not want that to happen. I wanted them to continue to struggle. I sometimes sit back and I enjoy the organization that I don't think is particularly the greatest of guys, going through the issues that they've been going through, especially when they did win the World Series that they did this past year. But that's going to be a tough series. And yeah, you're right. The back of the rotation to be tested by that Boston lineup, which has obviously some very good hitters, a couple of guys who were MVP candidates last season in J.D. Martinez and in Mookie Betts, and the actual MVP in Mookie Betts. You had a really, really good team last season. For whatever reason, they stunk in April. But they're back.
But that's where I get excited about some of the things that you're still watching, like Josh James. Josh James all of a sudden is working his way back into AJ Hinch's trust. You know, Monday, you see him warming up before the ninth. You're like, what's this all about? It didn't end up being a high leverage.
He was
situation.
Great against the Red Sox last year.
So Josh James figuring out whatever was going on with him and his fastballs up in the 98 range again. And this is a big test for him. Like, okay, this is playoff baseball. What are you going to see out of him? I don't want to give up on Tyler White, but I've kind of given up on Tyler White.
The Astros might be giving up on Tyler White because AJ Hinch said before yesterday's game that we're going to see him more sporadically.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, at this point, like, Mariznick's got a better case for being the DH than Tyler White.
He's hitting .313.
Yeah. I'm almost only half joking when I say that, but Tyler White and the way he's been hitting or not hitting, I don't see the avenue for him to get his way out of it because you can't justify the at bats when you're shuffling all these guys like Springer and Brantley through the DH. I'd rather see that. I want to see Springer staying fresh and healthy. I want to see Brantley staying fresh and healthy.
Yeah,
so it just leaves Tyler White out on kind of no man's land.
Paul Gallant and Seth Payne, Mad Radio Sports Radio 610. They've won 8 in a row. They've won 11 of 12. This is going to be a very tough series this weekend, but I still got to say, Seth, like it's nice to have this given where we were at the beginning of this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is one of the things that tends to happen every single season when the baseball season begins. You're excited. You're really excited at first, but then everything sort of wears off after about a month.
Right.
We needed this.
I think you're right there. I saw kind of a healing going on where people's pride and egos were bruised after the Rockets games or after the Rockets series. And almost immediately the Astros that are lifting you up a little bit. They're giving you a hug, telling you everything's going to be all right.
Come over here.
Yeah. Just come here, big fella. I know you're upset about all these other things, but we're here for you. We'll always be here for you.
You're not a big hug guy.
No, I am. Just not with certain people.
Yeah. With me.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I went in for a hug once and I got denied.
Wait, when?
Oh, I'm not even going to talk about it anymore. Do you see how little it meant to you?
I don't, with work acquaintances, I guess I'm like that. I'm kind of a touchy-feely person out. So ever since, it's all this Me Too stuff, man. Like, I've gone into a zone at work where I'm basically, what? I'm terrified of any contact with anybody. I don't want some picture emerging of me hugging Paul Gallant 20 years from now and be like, oh, it's Biden 2.0. Seth's running for office, but look, he can't keep his hands off the coworker.
You're going to grab my tickets or something?
I don't know what's acceptable. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to get too close to anybody. I want to be very, very careful. Oh, remember we were talking about this one of our female coworkers who's a very huggy person. And she said she can sense how men like now recoil away from contact, which is, well, look, ultimately it's probably for the best because you don't want to avoid the multiple. This is the problem. There's like 4% of us that are creepy dudes that ruin it for everybody else. That just can't, like, leave a hug as just a hug. They got to hold it a little too long. They got to make a comment. They got to do something like that.
Do we know any of them specifically here at Sports Radio 610?
Not currently. Yeah.
Interesting.
There's definitely the creepy vibe of the guys. You can almost tell from online, like, the guys that are a little too gallant online, you figure, like, oh, yeah, they're the ones that take a little... things a little too hard. Those are the ones that
the white knights.
They can't let casual interactions be just casual interactions. It's always going to mean something. So just don't worry about it. I'm just trying to keep myself out of any. If I don't bro hug you, it's because I don't want to be implicated in something later.
Yeah,
on.
Sure, whatever. Yeah, because I'm gonna call HR. Seth, grab my boob.
It doesn't matter what you say. It's like that guy from NPR that got fired a few weeks ago, or he quit. He just stepped off the job. He was like this 80-year-old guy because he had commented on another 80-year-old woman that was his guest, and he said, "You look really good." And somebody complained about him making inappropriate comments. The woman herself was asked for a comment, and she said, "What the hell are you talking about?" But he said, "That's it. That's it. I'm done. I'm not dealing with this crap," and he got the hell out of there.
Oh, man.
So I don't, like, it doesn't matter if you complain. It's, I got to be conscious of everything else.
We do want to hug everything right now because the Astros are kicking everyone's keisters. Seth
is
right.
That's what you want to talk about, some Me Too action. One of those guys in the dugout is going to be like, "Hey, I didn't want to get lifted up and hugged. Tony Kemp."
You know, after
hey,
a while.
You know what, Tony Kemp, hands off, buddy.
Don't you think after a while, if you're Tony Kemp and you're constantly getting picked up with the hug, you're like, okay, I get it. I'm small. I'm not a large human being.
I think on another team. There's other teams where it would definitely be like a bullying type thing. Whereas on the Astros, you would never get that sense. They're very chummy. They're very chummy back in the way it used to be in sports before everybody got so damn nervous about everything. Like where they're just always hanging around with their arms around each other and everything. You look at some of these pictures of old-time baseball teams, like in the team photos. They're like, they're all like hugging or they'll be like lined up in it. A lot more physical contact back in the day. But then as we've gotten more tolerant, we've also gotten less tolerant because now that people realize it's a weird scenario.
Baseball, you're around each other so much. Yeah. I'd imagine that's sort of a natural thing that happens. Football, I mean, when you were playing, you played in the late 90s for the Jaguars, yeah. The early 2000s for the Houston Texans. Has it changed since then?
I don't see. You know what always was weird to me was the butt slapping. The
I've never got it
with
either.
Butt slapping. I never got that at all. And you don't see that much anymore either because I just, that's the way society has changed. It was always really weird to me that in football, especially, the butt slap by a coach or something was just a common, no big deal.
Yeah.
Generally by like the biggest group of homophobic dudes out there would be the first to be like, yeah, big old slap on the butt.
You know, and
it's sweaty.
I mean, I can imagine high school, college, things maybe were a little weird. I'll say my high school football team's locker room was very experimental, to say the least.
Well, you went to an all-boys school. What are you going to do?
No, this wasn't an all-boys school.
It wasn't?
This was a weird private school where we had a couple of guys in the locker room that it was an entertaining circus to watch.
That's just high school.
Guys
just
being guys?
Just jackasses, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of jackassery going on right there. I've never understood the butt slap either because I got it. And my coach used to say, when he did it, like, "That a babe." And I'm like, "What? Wait, wait a second. What am I? Am I some prostitute? That a babe?
Is that all I am to you? So it's just a piece of meat out here for your entertainment? It was play your game of football?"
Exactly. And the combination was weird. Like, "That a babe," spank on the ass.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. Like, if he had just smacked me on the ass, I'd be like, "I'm playing football. I get it."
But that a babe plus spank on the ass.
And it was really, really kind of, I would guess most of our listeners got like, didn't think anything of it growing up. And then somewhere along the way, somebody, probably some stand-up comedian was like, hey, wait, what's with all the butt slapping? And then it kind of stopped. I don't know if I can, we'll have to watch for that. Let's watch and see. Because I bet there's an age thing. I bet the older managers in baseball are still doing the butt slap. And you're not going to see it out of anybody like younger than 40.
Yeah, because I think people get too uncomfortable with stuff like that.
Yeah, AJ Hinch might be the cutoff.
Should we bring the butt slap back?
Oh, happy birthday, AJ Hinch, by the way. No, I don't think so.
How old is AJ Hinch now?
He's 42?
AJ Hinch.
43 or 44, 45, somewhere like that.
One of the things about AJ Hinch that always gets me is that since he's got that hat on and you never see his hair, you never are 100% sure of how old he is.
Right.
But he's got a very young face, but I've always thought, okay, well, you add the hair in, you get a better feel for how old he is.
He's
not that old.
Demeanor. Oh, he's 45. That's right. Because he was at Stanford when Tiger Woods was at Stanford. Kylie Wong was at Stanford. So I know that the time frame, because Kylie used to talk about what Tiger Woods was like at parties. And he was a dork.
Shocker.
It was like, party starts at 7, Tiger's there at 6:59, ready for the keg. Yeah.
Tiger not slapping anyone's ass. That is his teammate. Now, other people, I wonder what Tiger Woods would have been like at Stanford. Do you think he came out of his shell before he became a successful professional golfer? I doubt it. I feel like he was probably in his shell at that point.
No, he was like at the parties and everything. Like he was a classic. It sounds like, and I don't want to put words in Kylie's mouth, and somebody else told me this too that was at Stanford at the same time, was almost like a Todd Marinovich type thing, but like a scaled back version of Todd Marinovich. So Todd Marinovich, the Oakland Raiders quarterback, who had a really, really overcoached childhood, like rebelled by going hog wild with everything and anything. Tiger wasn't obviously that extreme, but he was kind of getting out there and feeling himself after having like a very controlled childhood. So he was having a good time.
Okay. Yeah. He is Seth Payne, original Houston Texan. I am Paul Gallant. It's Mad Radio. Mike Meltzer on a much deserved vacation. Lawyer Mike Meltzer up next. I'm going to help the Rockets trend towards being Astros level likable, but they really have to listen to me for once. You'll hear why next. Mad Radio.